Hello and welcome to Focus on Licking County on Buckeye Country 107.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney, joined today by my broadcast partner Joel Riley and our special guests, Deb Dingus, Executive Director, United Way of Licking County, and Trina Woods, Executive Director, Licking County Coalition for Housing. They're here today to talk about a free screening of the documentary Beyond the Bridge.
Next Tuesday, we are partnering with a great group of community leaders and the Midland Theater, and we will be having a free viewing of a documentary called Beyond the Bridge. It's recorded, written by Tim Hashko and Don Sawyer, and it's a 40,000-mile journey across 12 major U.S. cities to explore the question whether or not homelessness can be solved. And so they go about it, and they've got some great stories. You're going to hear directly from people who have lived this journey, and they say, yes, it can be solved. And they're going to share with us some of those examples in this documentary, which is really exciting. Again, that's next Tuesday. The doors are going to open up at 6 p.m. The viewing starts at 6:30 p.m. And you can get a free ticket. Go to unitedwaylc.org. And we're just really thrilled to be able to partner with great people in this community who really care about this issue, like Trina and the Coalition of Housing and others.
Can you just come up on Tuesday, or is it one of those where you have to get your ticket in advance?
We will take people at the door,
okay.
But we encourage you to register so we have an idea who's there. We're also going to be having some follow-up meetings for the community, inviting the community to come and continue to be in dialogue and really explore this issue and to be a part of working together. That's the only way we're going to continue to solve these issues, mm-hmm. is work together, everybody doing what they can around this issue of homelessness.
Can you share any insights from the documentary? I mean, have you seen it, or is there any press release about some of the stories?
I have seen it. I've watched it now twice.
Oh.
And so there are interviews with people who have experienced from homelessness to being stable and what that journey looks like from them, particularly as they talk about permanent supportive housing, which is a term that many people may not be familiar with. And so I probably should turn it over to Trina, my colleague here, because this is one of their areas of expertise, and she can tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the film talks a lot about housing first and wraparound services and how important that is when you're trying to solve an episode of homelessness. So housing first just means you put somebody in housing and then they start working on their barriers. So if there's an addiction issue, if there's mental health, if there's just a loss of job, until they get housing, it's hard to focus on those barriers. It's hard to focus on those barriers when you're wondering where your next meal is coming from, or where you're going to sleep that night, what the weather is going to be like. I mean, you know, homeless folks pay more attention to the weather probably than anyone. So, and then wraparound services just means it can't be done by one agency. So our agency specializes in housing and providing housing services, but we have to rely on our partners in the field to provide those mental health services, to provide those addiction services, to provide job training and things like that. So we kind of get people started, but then we count on our community partners to bring those other services that they do so well and try to get somebody stably housed into sustainable housing.
Mm-hmm. What are the numbers? So folks understand here in Licking County what a problem this is, and maybe some folks don't understand it.
Sure. So what I can tell you is right now we have 180 households representing 294 people that are housed in one of our programs. That means they are at one time homeless, have come off the streets or out of shelters and into housing, and then are working with our team of case managers to make sure that they are on the right path to permanent housing. So these were people that one time were technically homeless. The problem is we still have at least 95 households that are living on the street, living in their cars, or a place not meant for human habitation, and also all the other folks still in shelter. So that's probably another 50 to 60 households. So we're probably looking about another 150 households. So what that can kind of show, though, is LCCH is able to handle about half of it, and there's still another half that's waiting to either get into our programs or one of the other great programs within Lincoln County.
Mm-hmm. This is going to sound silly, but what are the requirements for just Lincoln County Coalition for Housing? Is it, I mean, do you prioritize folks? How does that work, Trina, if somebody comes to your door?
That's a great question. Yeah. So we do have to prioritize people based on kind of their barriers. So, you know, if we have somebody that's maybe a senior citizen, they might get prioritized a little higher than somebody that's a little younger living on the streets. If we have somebody with children, they might be prioritized ahead. And so we have some different scoring systems. We have some tools in-house that we use to kind of triage people, see where they need, what program maybe they're best fit for, because I've got 15 programs total. And so we kind of triage in-house and kind of determine like what program they would be a good fit for. We have a program specifically for veterans. So if there's a veteran that is homeless, they go straight into our veteran program. We have a program for families with minor children. So if it is a household with children involved. So we kind of do that in-house. But the prioritization is a county-wide effort. So we get on a call with our shelter folks, with people that work with outreach. And we kind of just talk about people, because it's not, everybody's reason for homelessness isn't the same. You have people that have experienced traumatic events that lead to their homelessness. You have people with mental health. You've got people with medical emergencies that they lost their housing because maybe they went to the hospital for a while, and then by the time they got out, their rent hadn't been paid and they lost their housing. So there's usually some kind of traumatic event. And being homeless itself can be traumatic. And so a lot of times, until you get that person housed and can start dealing with the trauma that led to that episode, it's hard for them to be successful. And so that's, you know, really our goal is to get people housed and then start working on those barriers. Let them take a breath and say, you know what, I have a place to sleep tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they can kind of realize that they're safe, they have a place to sleep, then we can start talking about everything else. What led to your homelessness? How can we prevent that from happening again? And so it's a big process, but yeah, we prioritize in-house and we make sure that we're putting people where they can best be successful.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that timeline can be short or long just depending on the case. I mean, you have to kind of read the room a little bit and determine, you know, how much more comfort level does there need to be before we can take the next step.
Absolutely. So, and everybody's different. And that's sometimes when I first started in this business back in 2011, it was more of a cookie cutter approach. You'd put somebody in housing, you pay their deposit, 3 months rent, and you're done. Now we've taken more of a individualized approach. So you talk to the individual. Some people might only need that few months of assistance. Other people might need a little bit longer to get stable. And so it's definitely just the timeline is never the same for everybody. And, you know, we like to talk about people by name in-house because everybody is a human and they have a name and they have a purpose. And we want each plan to be individualized to that person.
Mm-hmm. You talk about different factors that go into that. And is that what you're seeing, Deb, too? Is it, you know, a lot of times folks may think, okay, for better or worse, we hear about folks with drug use and all these different things. But it is across the spectrum. Is it not? I mean, you do, as Trina mentioned, are you seeing that it's folks who maybe, as you always say, mm-hmm. one emergency away from being homeless? I mean, mm-hmm. are you seeing that?
You know, absolutely. And as you know, United Way talks a lot about the ALIS demographic.
Yep.
41% of all households in Licking County are in the ALIS demographic. That means that their economic stability is such that every single month they are making difficult choices. Am I going to pay the rent? Am I going to pay for the food? Am I going to pay for the transportation? Am I going to pay the medical bills? And those are really tough decisions. And you throw one more layer, you know, a trauma, a health issue, a flat tire, or, you know, for our household, the water pump, you know, mm-hmm. something happens, and that can just throw that household budget into chaos, right? So we look at all of those things. So not only do we have folks that are identified as unsheltered and homeless living in our shelters and on the waiting lists, but we also have a lot of families we know through the school systems that are couch surfing, who then may be putting an additional strainer or stressor on those families or those households. where they're living. So we have a lot of fragile people who are really trying to navigate, what do I do for permanent safe housing in my life? Mm-hmm. And we don't often have the ability to capture all of those numbers. But if we want to look at what's going on in the larger context right now economically for our community, we need to look at other strainers. So what's happening with food? We know that 18,000 residents in Licking County have been receiving SNAP benefits. Those benefits are in jeopardy currently. We also know that traditional funding streams that were coming through the Emergency Food and Shelter Protection Program were cut in January. That's a lack of dollars to our food pantries, our food services, and to our shelters. We also know that USAID dollars have been reduced, and so those dollars are providing less amount of food in our food pantries right now. We know that child care is just about as expensive right now as housing costs are. So if you want to work and you got to put your kids in childcare, where can I go? Not to mention just the availability of childcare, perhaps at other shifts like second and third shift. If we look at what's happening with healthcare, that also we see those prices going up, and you just go to the grocery store and you see the prices of food going up. So we try to at United Way look at the entire picture. And we know that all of those things have to work together in providing stability in a person's household. And that makes it so that they can survive, right? And housing is a piece of that. Mm-hmm. But we agree with the philosophy of housing first. It is like Maslow's hierarchy. Unless I have a place to sleep and food in my belly, I really can't think mm-hmm. much beyond that.
Yeah. With all those numbers, it seems like it almost... I mean, the door might be open to you finding those people that are on the edge of homelessness before they become. Is that a way? I mean, can you do that? Can you see, kind of predict the future a little bit and say, hey, let's help them now rather than wait till they're in that crisis mode? And that way it kind of staves the problem off.
So actually, last year around November, we held a community meeting at the DoubleTree. And we had Shannon Neeson in from the Community Shelter Board in Columbus. They had just did a survey and a study predicting that homelessness would see an increase by 68% by 2030, given our current trajectory of our economics. There's a number of things that are combined in that, but the lack of just housing stock available across the board in the Central Ohio region is significant. The cost to develop new housing units or even to rehab those units is quite costly. And then there's other barriers in communities involving zoning or NIMBYism. You know, we'd love to tackle that NIMBYism, which stands for not in my backyard, right? Mm-hmm. I'd like to change it to BIMBY, right? Belonging in my backyard and create spaces for everybody.
Okay. What's the date, time, and how folks, if they want to get it, is it free to come out?
Again, completely free. Get your free ticket. Go to unitedwaylc.org or show up that evening at the Midland Theater. That's next Tuesday, October 7th. The doors open up at 6 p.m. The viewing starts at 6:30. And we'll have an opportunity for everybody to also hear a few introductory remarks from our County Commissioner, Tim Bubb, who's going to say a few words about this for us, which really hopefully will set the tone that this is a county issue for us, and begin some other dialogues. We've got three successive meetings that will be set up over the next handful of months to talk about some of these issues. Mm-hmm. So we invite folks to come and be a part of that.
And Trina, if folks want information on Licking County Coalition for Housing, where do they go? What do they need to do?
Sure. You can go to our website, which is lcchousing.org. Or you can stop by our office sometime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, and just grab one of our resource guides or grab one of our information pamphlets about LCCH and or talk to one of us. We're always available. And if you want to come in and volunteer, we have that opportunity as well. So, come see us or visit our website.
You've been listening to Focus on Licking County on Buckeye Country 107.7. I'm News Director Dave Downey. I'd like to thank my broadcast partner, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Deb Dingus, Executive Director, United Way of Licking County, and Trina Woods, Executive Director, Licking County Coalition for Housing. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great day.